is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Oh, that was fantastic. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Oh, my Lord, the Spirit is in this place today. What a great day this is. Man, what a fantastic day. Whew. I'm going to cross that off my notes there. That is awesome. Today's message is talking about seeing the ordinary as extraordinary. And in our Bible, if you would, turn to John chapter 2 today. And as you turn to John chapter 2, we're going to look at a little story and in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you a story again as you turn there about an ordinary lady that turned out to be an extraordinary lady. And we're going to look at a story taking something ordinary and turning it into extraordinary. And we're going to look, it's going to be in verse 1. We're talking about Jesus when he's at the wedding in Cana. And it starts out in verse 1 and it says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Now back then when you have wine and you had a big wedding, they served the best stuff first. And then when they ran out of the good stuff, they bring out the old cheap stuff. And now they ran out of wine. And you don't want to run out of wine at a wedding feast back then in their tradition. So we're assuming that they're probably like many of us. They just didn't have a whole lot of money to stock up a bunch of wine. But to run out of wine on a wedding feast was just, or wedding celebration was just not a good thing in those days. So in verse 4, Jesus said to her, woman, and that was a respectful term. These days I don't know that it means so much of respect when someone says, woman, it's more disrespect. But back then that was a respectful way to refer to one's mother. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? And Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. I'm just trying to picture my mind. It almost sounds like Jesus was back talking his mother just a little bit. But he wasn't. He was being respectful. But he told her, my hour has not yet come. My time has not yet come. But his mother said to the servants, whatever he says, you do it. So she obviously was important in that wedding and had something to do with that wedding party. And they all knew him because Jesus and all his disciples were there. Whatever he says to do, you do it. Now there was a set there of 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. So back then, because they didn't have paved roads, they had dirty roads, and you had to have a lot of water. They went to a lot of traditions, washing their hands before, during, and after meals. When guests came in, they washed their feet. And so they had several pots of water for the cleansing. Verse 7, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim, to the very top, with water. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. There was usually somebody in charge of the wedding feast. Could be like an MC in certain situations. It could be a wedding coordinator. But there was somebody, and they said, take it to that person, the head waiter type thing. Take it to that person. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who drew the water, they knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, meaning when you've gone ahead and socked it to them with the good stuff, then you can pull out the cheaper stuff and they won't notice as much. You have kept the good wine until now. This was better than the early stuff. You served the so-so stuff in the beginning, but you brought out the good stuff in the end. You have kept the good wine until now. Listen carefully to this next verse. verse 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Taking the ordinary and turning it into the extraordinary. Now, this story has a lot of different meanings. There's a lot of different things in here that talk about what they did, what they believed, what they thought, who told who what. But the thing we want to focus on today, do you believe that that can happen? Almost 2.5 years ago, it was the last Sunday of December 2012, and I preached a message here at Prayer Faith, and I preached it for a couple weeks, and it was about running a race. And it was called Running Your Race. And I opened it with Psalm 119, verse 25 through 32. And I listed four areas that I felt our church needed to focus on for that upcoming year. And then as we crossed over into the first 2 weeks of 2013, what does this church need to focus on? What do we as believers need to focus on? And there were four areas. One was revival. It said, revive in me, O Lord. And we talked a few weeks ago about revival. We're not talking about putting out a big tent in the parking lot and saying we're having a revival. We're talking about right inside your heart. Just having a personal revival with you and God. God, revive me. Remember when you were drawn to God recently, a few years ago, so many years ago. Revive me. Number two was Bible studying. Not our Wednesday night Bible study, but your personal Bible study. It's in that thing that's covered dust somewhere in the house that you don't know where it is, called your Bible. And pull it out and read it. And where you don't understand, write things down and come and ask somebody that knows the answer. The fourth thing, and I'll get to number three in case you think I can't count. One, two, four. The fourth thing I mentioned was enter the race. And then when you enter the race, start running. Eric referenced that last week. Man, get in there and start running. And he mentioned Heartbreak Hill. My son and my daughter last week ran in the Oklahoma City Marathon. It just makes me sick to think about somebody running that far. I, like Eric, over the years, have noticed my body changing. Many of you have too. Thank you for pointing that out. But, man, they have practiced and they have exercised and they have done things to prepare their body for that. Enter the race and then run it once you enter it. And the third thing, the thing I want to focus on right now, recognize God's wondrous works and meditate on them. And I talked about just taking something simple and saying, how beautiful is that? God has made every one of us a little different than the other. And some of us can look at some of God's creation and say, oh. But God created every human being for a purpose. And we have to learn how to recognize that. Recognize that that's not just someone that doesn't care what we say to them and say about them. But we have to recognize that that is one of God's wondrous works. And man, let us meditate on that and let us praise God for that. I still pray for those four areas. For our church, for myself. The revival that we need. It was interesting. 2 weeks ago, I shared with Miss Anna. Anna, do you want to look at your Falls Creek dedication card from several years ago? Yeah, I still keep those things also for our young people. It was quite fascinating to see that. And to see, as I read it, the others, and to see where they are in their spiritual journey. And I thought, how interesting, last week Anna wasn't here. She was off listening to her boyfriend preach a sermon at his church. And I thought, how great is that? A fantastic sermon, by the way. I listened to it. Thank you for the internet. And I just think, as we learn to recognize these different things and what's going on in our lives and the lives of other people, in our work, we're angry at a coworker for whatever reason. Do you know what they're going through? Have we slowed down to ask how they're doing and then waited for the answer? We talk about that time and time again, but have we done it? We sometimes say, why do we keep doing this stuff? Why do we hear this? Well, have we done it? Have we changed? Have we brought ourselves to that point? Have we said, here's the line. I'm on this side. I need to be on this side. But have we done anything to put us on that side of the line? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. There's some things I have definitely put myself over the line. And then there's other things that I say, well, I kind of like this side. I'm kind of a right side guy. And it's hard to cross over. Seeing the ordinary and taking the ordinary and turning it into the extraordinary. We have a story here about ordinary water. And Jesus was able to take that and turn it into an extraordinary thing. Not just wine, but the best wine. The best wine. This isn't about how drunk do people get at Jewish weddings. This isn't a story about, hey, the Jewish people have more fun, or their pots are fuller than the Christian pots. And so many people look into these different things and say, that just means that the Christian community is fuller than the Jewish. The Jews say, no, the Jewish community is fuller. Our pots were able to be transformed. Other people said, man, it's just about drinking a whole bunch at a wedding. But it's not. It's about looking at the ordinary, our everyday life. I had to do a time management thing and list out my activities for the day. And I was pretty unimpressed looking at the small list there was. Wake up, shower, get dressed, drive to work, go to work, drive home from work, a little bit of family time, eating, a little bit of studying, go to bed. Oh, and TV in there somewhere. Man, I repeated that 5 days out of the week. Some of you may have a little bit smaller, if you're retired, non-working, you may have a smaller time frame than that. I simply wake up, I do nothing, I eat, I do nothing, I eat again, I do nothing, I go to bed. But it's looking at our ordinary life and sometimes feeling, man, I'm just hopeless in this. I don't see a way out of this. I've got to keep going to this job. I'm not educated for this job. I don't know how to get out of here. And if I go somewhere else, I just have to start all over at the bottom of the ladder. And we simply can't see that God wants us to break through our ordinary everyday moments and cross over into that extraordinary lifestyle. And it could be transforming just the things we do day to day. He wants us to look at our vessel filled with water and allow it to be turned into wine. And I think we have to allow that to happen. I think sometimes God can and sometimes God does. And I think He will transform somebody. You think, man, how did that happen to them? But I think we also have to be willing vessels. And we have to allow Him to do that work. Because when we put up our fence, there's not a whole lot that can cross that. Now, nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. We know that. But that means He wants to do something in our lives. He doesn't want us to stay there going through our daily existence. He wants us to see His history. The signs that started here with this story. When we listen to God and He tells us what to do. We all have gifts. Some of us are still searching, what exactly are those? And how can I use those gifts? But when we listen to God say, I've given you this gift. I want you to use it in this setting for this purpose. our ordinary life becomes extraordinary. When we allow our vessel to change from water to wine, and then we can give that to somebody, and we can feed that to somebody, then we become light and salt to them. We have given them life. We have given them hope through our wine that we're allowed to give them. Well, God can't use a broken vessel. Let me tell you, He can and indeed will use a broken vessel. Well, these churches won't allow those type in there. This church absolutely will throw the doors open for broken people. Do I have any broken people out there? Yeah. Amen. Broken now, broken in the past, either or. And God will use you. God can use you. I tell my wife all the time, you saw her strutting halfway up to the stage just a little bit ago, in just her way. I can't imagine she'd ever get up here and preach a message. But she preaches messages all the time to people that I just can't reach. I can't touch it. We got an amen over here. I can't reach some people. The way I am, the way I approach it, whatever. Too stuffy, too formal. I don't know. But she can get in there where I can't get in. And she can preach those messages. And many of you are the same way. I've come from a broken background, you say. Many of you have said, I feel unworthy to do this. Bring your unworthy self to the church and serve God's people in your brokenness. Do you think it's right we let a broken person sing or play or do this or do that ministry? We're all broken. We are all broken people. We are at different levels of brokenness. Yeah, thank goodness, because we're allowed to help each other from where we've been. I remember a overnight lock-in in this sanctuary. The men were over here and the girls were over at Ground Zero years ago. And we had tents set up here. And at one point, I don't know how, I believe it was Austin Kennedy, who had a tent and was literally swinging it by its top, swinging the entire tent around, assembled and everything. And there was just enough light, I thought, what is that? And I see a tent spinning around. Never one to want to be left out of the fun. I jumped right in and said, man, let's have some fun. And we had some tents because they needed a little anchor tied to some chairs and some various things. And as a huge mistake, we used one of these. And I've told this story before, but I'll get to the point here in just a minute. One was anchored to that. And so as I'm fleeing for my life in the darkness across the front here, I hit something, felt flat on my face, thought, what in the world was that? Turn on the lights. There's been an accident, one of many. And I looked up, and there's nothing but a pile of talcum powder on the ground. I thought, uh-oh. Probably need to get another one of those before Sunday, tomorrow, service, because it holds up the glass table. My point being, I love to have fun. No, my point being that sometimes there's that brokenness that's pretty far gone. Okay, but when that happens, God says, man, I can take that, and we can't use that the way it is, but we're going to renew it, and we're going to redo it. And God can renew you, no matter how broken you are. God can renew you, and He can restore you. So we can't live in this I'm unworthy too long. We can't stay there. We can't stay in this thing that says, I can't do that. John's story here in Cana says he did this. And we have to figure out, do we think that the master of the feast who said, fill these jars with water, can he make all things new in our own life? That's the question. Can he do that in our life? Can he take our ordinary pot of water and can he make something out of that? Can he make not just wine, but the best wine out of that? Man, I'm going to tell you today. If you hunger for more in your relationship with Jesus Christ, then you need to use your gifts and your time in the local church to edify His people and to grow and multiply the kingdom of God in a humble manner. If you do not have that hunger, then something bigger is missing. God, revive us. Start a revival in my heart today, God. Revive us. Take me to the point where I was when I first met you, God. Whether it is in my brokenness, my celebration, take me to that place. And Holy Spirit, man, I don't know much about you, but man, Holy Spirit, I'm just asking you to come into my life. That may be your plea as well. And the Holy Spirit is sent here to help us and to direct us. And when you listen, the Holy Spirit will be there. You may have to sit there long enough to hear the answer. Every once in a while, it's uncomfortable to sit here during praise and worship when we just have a moment of silence. But sometimes God says, just sit in that silence. See what you hear. And I have confessed to you guys before, I am a clock watcher and I'm spent 2 minutes, 10 seconds listening to God. I don't know why I do that. But I'm sorry, I don't know why I did that. But I used to do that a lot. Because I wasn't mature enough to understand what God had in store and what God was trying to do. Real quick as we close today, 2 Peter. It's right after 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, the end of the New Testament, way down there at the end. Just a little bit before Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 14 through 18. And we'll close with that. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace. Be found in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles. Now let me just stop there in the middle of that sentence. It says that he has written many letters to you. In all his epistles. Speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. So it's the same thing here. Every now and then we go back. And we touch on things we've talked about before as reminders. A lot of times the things you don't talk about are no longer a focus. Some of these things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. I mentioned earlier, pull that Bible out, dust it off. You can leave it dusty. God doesn't care. Read it. Start reading that thing and find out and write down the questions you have. And when you have questions, take it to a knowledgeable person. But be careful, because an untaught and unstable person may twist it to their own destruction as they do the rest of the scriptures. Verse 17 through the end. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Verse 18, listen, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's our goal. As we look at this story of water being turned into wine, we've got to know, and do you believe that He can do that in your own life with you, transforming those things? And He can. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask today, Lord, that you grow us in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, that we understand and we believe that you can take our ordinary existence and turn us into extraordinary people for your kingdom, for your glorification, for the edification of the body of Christ. God, when we feel unworthy, when we feel unable to do those things because of our past, Lord, that you would remove that, that you would blot that out from our thought process. Lord, even where we struggle to understand fully the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, just help reveal yourself to me. Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to me. When we call on the Holy Spirit, Lord, your promise is that the Holy Spirit will be there to help lead, guide, and direct, and give us words to speak at the proper times. God, today, for those that hunger for more, God, we ask that you feed them. You feed them through your word, through your fellowship, through the breaking of bread together, through prayer. God, that you would bring a revival down to this church body as individuals and collectively as Prayer, Faith, World Outreach. God, that we get those that have been standing, cheering others on, that we get them to enter the race and run that race. And finally, God, that we can recognize your wondrous works and we can meditate on those things. Heavenly Father, help us today to recognize those things in our life. Help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Help guide our footsteps. God, give us the words to speak to one another that are kind and gentle. God, allow us to show love to one another. While our heads are bowed and we're praying today, if you need prayer, would you just raise your hand that we can pray for you and we can touch base with you? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, the hands go up. Oh, yes. Heavenly Father, for those that raise their hand, would you just step out and reach them? In Jesus' name, amen.